Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Well, welcome to the Full Scale Waterfowl. Is this episode 100?
100, baby.
We did 100 episodes of the Waterfowl Wednesday edition of Full Scale Outdoor Podcast. This 100th episode is proudly presented by the Nick Johnson Signature Series Goose Call by Pacific Calls.
Nice.
The best goose call, in my opinion.
Ever. In the history of goose calls.
It's a pretty damn good goose call.
Many, many of birds have lost their lives. Is it acrylic?
It's acrylic, yeah. We only make acrylic versions, but super proud of the job that me and Pacific did with that. Those guys were great to work with, and we're trying to sell the last little bit of stock that's left for the year. So that's why I'm going to be pushing it every 15 minutes on this podcast today.
It's usually only twice, because we usually only go about 30 minutes, but
But seriously, though, if somebody is in the market for Goose Call, it really would be an honor if you would consider that signature series. Check it out on PacificCustomCalls.com. They do a great job machining them, designing them, and I take pride in tuning every single one of them myself, and it would be awesome if somebody would consider it. And if you do buy it, I'm happy to help you out and make sure everything always is running smoothly with it.
And then you could go to your app store and learn how to blow the damn thing.
The Goose Tech app.
There it is.
With the Goose Tech app. Yes, sir. Return of the box.
Return. Oh, yes. I've been seeing. I saw your Snapchat. The white box has made a return, and rather right. Successfully, I would say.
Hell yeah, dude. Like, okay, I have not hunted out of the white box for 2 years. And if you don't know what we're talking about, I built a white styrofoam box from sheets of styrofoam that you buy at Home Depot. If anybody's interested in building one for themselves, just reach out to me. I've got the plans. My plans are the plans I got, and I kind of loosely followed them. I mean, you're building a white styrofoam box. It ain't the most complicated thing in the world. You can also see one in action. Dive Bomb has a video where they use a white styrofoam box in a snowstorm. That's built a lot differently than mine, I can tell by the video. It's got like a PVC frame on the inside. Anyways, that's what the white box is. And it came back out for a hunt last Saturday. I had just one guy joining me. And he's the one who recommended. He said it. He's like, hey, I've got a Mr. Buddy heater if you want to hunt out of that box of yours. I was like, okay, but it was a decent feel. Like, there's some birds using it, you know. I kind of didn't want to screw it up,
right?
and that box looks fucking ridiculous, dude. So
it's like a Halloween Halloween costume if you were going as a apple square block charger.
Yeah, basically. And okay, so my box hasn't been used for a couple years. It's been in storage, like. It's got some dirt on it. Like when styrofoam is like pure white and your snow is fresh, dude, nothing matches.
Like, nothing matches snow like snow. I mean, that's just.
Or like styrofoam, man. Like that styrofoam just matches the fucking snow like perfectly.
Does it really? Oh, I thought you were going to say it just doesn't really match, but wow. That's
pretty... Oh, dude, I've I've never seen anything match the snow as good as that nice white styrofoam, like a good white snow and a good white styrofoam. And it's obviously you're still a giant box. Like it's not invisible, but it does blend good. Anyways, I pull my box out of storage. It's dirty. I'm reminded of all the things I screwed up that I didn't like about it when I built it. And I'm basically already hating this idea of using the box. So I throw the box in the truck. I throw two blinds on top of it with snow covers on the side, like just in case I can't stomach it. And I go out there and I actually, before I even put the box into the truck, I took like some wet rags and like tried to clean it as best as I could, like from all the spots that just have some grime, just trying to get its previous white luster back, you know, if we're really going to use this thing. And it, last Saturday was really cold. So I was kind of, I was like, God, I really would like to use that thing with the Mr. Buddy heater. That would kick ass, sit in that warm box. And I set up about 40 or so, four, maybe 45 DSD giants. And then I set up the box and I was like, oh, this thing's fucking ugly, man. And I parked the truck and I looked back at the spread and you could just see that giant white box sitting there. Like, fuck, is that that thing is so fucking stupid. And it doesn't help that I'm off a major road. So I know anybody driving past is, that's a goose hunter is going to be like, look at that fucking idiot. So I'm just planning its demise. I'm like, okay, when I get home, I'm going to get out a saw, like a handsaw. I'm going to start sawing that thing into little pieces. I'm going to put it into my trash. You know, if I ever want one, you know, I'll rebuild one. I'll make it nicer. And I'll do all the things I wish I would have done with this one, and I'll have nice white foam again. And now I'm just going to go and screw this hunt up with this ugly fucking box just so we can use a Mr. Buddy heater. You know, like just the thing I always preach against, like those A-frames just ruining hunts for the comfort of sitting on a fucking bucket, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, it worked really good.
Oh, wow, you really made a good story out of that. The end.
Actually,
I was watching the snaps and I'm like, these geese were landing in the decoys and they didn't
very
look,
close.
They didn't look freaked out at all.
No, and when I was walking, after I parked my truck, I was walking back, my buddy Cal shows up. He's walking out with his Mr. Buddy heater and a flock was going, they're going from water to water. And a few of them seen the decoys and split off, started circling the spread while I'm walking back to it. And they just fucked off. You know, they didn't, you know, they just circled it a couple times, circled the spread, and then went over to the creek that they've been chilling in. And I meet up with Cal there. We're both walking from our vehicles. He got there right when I was finished setting out. I was like, you saw that, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I don't know. He's like, well, I'm walking the Mr. Buddy heater out, you know, let's at least try it. Like, all right. But then when birds actually did come out to go eat, it doesn't work perfect, but dude, neither does snow-covered layouts. And
right.
The second day, that was Saturday, that did work really good. I shot one goose, Cal shot his three, and we landed a couple groups looking for something. Like, but Cal's already limited out, so I'm just kind of like looking for birds. And I was like, you know what, we need to get this box out of here and hunt this field again tomorrow. And the next day, I used just one snow covered layout blind instead of the box. And I mean, it worked. It worked good. And there was a bunch of birds that flared off me, which is what I could say about, it's the same thing I could say about that white box. You know, it worked good. Some geese flared off it, you know?
Sure. Could it be that, or were they flaring off the decoys? I mean,
the DSD Giants?
Yeah.
Nah.
I mean, they're still not real. You know, they're still plastic. They're still
That's true.
Mannequins.
Geese are still weirded out when they land in mannequins.
Right.
Like, even very, very sexy mannequins.
I mean, sometimes maybe it's just the individual birds, because sometimes, you know, you'll get one that'll land and he'll just, like, settle in and, like, I guess I'm going to take a nap. You guys are just all going to stand around like idiots, you know, and he'll preen himself and sit down.
Okay.
That does happen as well.
Here's another observation that I have. They're freaked. they're not freaked out so much because of the mannequins. They're freaked out because of your presence. They really notice you in layout blinds. And even out of that box, when you're peeking out of the windows, they're aware of their surroundings. Geese, when they land in the mannequins, they'll usually start to walk out of them, right? Like they'll land in there and they'll walk away from the decoys. That's not the case if you're at the truck and geese land in your decoys. I had it happen several times over just last weekend where birds, there was a three pack that landed in my spread when I parked on Sunday. And then on Sunday, also, I hunted all day. And I remember I had 8 gummy worms in my truck, and that was the only food I had. I was like, I got to make a walk for those gummy worms, or I'm going to die.
So, really came prepared that day.
Dude, so, and I knew I was hunting all day. I don't know why. I usually eat like a king when I hunt, but I just went out there with no food. I'm like, dude, there's that half bag of gummy worms that I didn't finish in my truck. It was slow for like 90 minutes. I didn't see a single goose. I'm like, I'm going to go get those fucking gummy worms is what I'm going to go do. Plus, my feet were getting a little chilly. And so I walk, I go get those gummy worms, geese land in the decoys. That was just a single. And then there was a three pack when I parked that morning. But if you're not there, the geese settle into your spread. Like, and then maybe 7 out of 10 or maybe 8 out of 10 times, if I'm not in the spread, I don't even need to have my gun with me. I can walk up to the geese, check them for a leg band, and like literally I could just go walk over to my gun, pick it up and shoot them. They don't fly out of the decoys when the threat presence comes from outside, but the decoys don't leave, you know? And I had to walk several geese out of my area. I did that in the morning flight on Saturday. I was getting racked on pretty hard by geese landing on the other side of my field. You don't have to walk that close to them before they leave, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
300 yards, and they see your silhouette kind of lumbering towards them. All of a sudden, all the heads go up, they start honking, and off they go. But when a goose lands in the DSD Giants, I can walk to my spread and scan the birds. I can usually get into my blind and be like, all right, well, you're not leaving. And when they land and the threat is already there present, like they can see me like feverishly checking them for leg bands, you know, right when they land, they're like, what the fuck? They get really freaked out. They start walking away right away. If I'm not there, even the layout blind's there. That's not what's freaking geese out. It's the human being, right?
Yeah.
So there's a layout blind there, sitting there with no person in it. Geese land in the spread. I can walk into the spread, check the birds, usually lay down, and the geese won't even leave, walk away from the spread. I think that's really interesting.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure there's always some movement, and I mean, it's well known that birds pick up movement very, very well. But maybe they're seeing you know, that UV coming off you. You got to get that special lotion, I'm telling you.
That hex suit.
The lotion from Relevant. Some Relevant sunglasses.
Oh, fuck yeah, their lotion. Jesus Christ, I forgot we talked about that shit. Dude, there's something, but it's my eyeballs glaring at them is what it really is, dude. Like just looking at birds, like my head darting back and forth.
Right, it's probably the movement more than anything.
They see you right away. But it's interesting how they'll land, look, and they check their surroundings. They're like, oh fuck, what is that thing? God damn it! They start walking away. Like, and I'm not shooting at them or rustling around. I'm staying pretty chill, you know, and It's interesting how tolerant, and I think what it is too, is they still will assume the decoys. I guess I don't know, man, because I've left decoys out in a field before on a really, really good hunting day that I was checking birds all day. When I left, there was like 40 geese in my spread. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm just like literally sitting there chilling, eating. The next morning I came back, there was 5 geese in my spread when I showed up the next morning that had slept there.
Oh, wow.
Geese don't sleep in fields, dude.
Right. Not usually.
But it's like they do what the decoys do. So well, if the decoys don't leave, they don't leave. And if like if somebody approaches the decoys from outside and the decoys aren't freaked out, they aren't freaked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's probably, you know, body posture. You know, the body postures are generally relaxed. You know, there's a couple that are sentries looking out, but that's pretty normal. You know, they're if I had to guess, I would say that's probably it. You know, like it's just they're reading the body language of these other geese around them, in air quotes. And it's like, well, I'm kind of freaked out, but you guys seem to be chill, so I right. guess it's fine.
I have never seen a goose stay late into a field past like where you can see, like this whole like they feed late on full moons, but they don't do that. They don't sleep in fields. I've seen snow geese do it.
Yeah, I've seen snow geese do it,
but not honkers.
They'll loaf in a field all day if it's like one of them drizzly, light rainy days.
Yeah, I've seen snow geese loaf in fields all day when it was super high wind. I guess in my brain, I was like, I don't know, maybe it's uncomfortable to go sit on that water and just ride waves.
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting blown across dry land. You know, maybe they don't have to paddle actively, you know.
Right. I've seen that too. But I don't know. That's just it's not a one-off. Like when geese happened to me in Manitoba last year, I went and took a poop and came back to the spread. I didn't even see a goose come in, but all of a sudden there's like a couple geese in the spread. They'll let me walk all the way back into my decoys. They won't flush. But geese land far away. You walk at them 300 yards away. They're out of there.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when geese land in my decoys and I'm there, immediately they're like, "Fuck this! There's a human being," and they start walking away. But there's no "fuck this! There's a human being" when I come walking in from afar, like from my truck. They're just like, "Is this freaking anybody else out?" No. All right. Well, I'll just kind of keep my eyes on them then.
Yeah, right.
Like I walked to my truck to get those gummy bears and then or gummy worms. And then I'm walking back and I see that single land in the spread. And I get back to the spread and I'm literally standing on the edge of my spread, like 5 yards away from a decoy in front of me, you know, like just my blob of decoys I got out there. And I can't fucking find this goose. I'm like, because Misty Giants is hard to find the live birds in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God damn it. Where it, like, I know I saw a goose land in here. Well, he was sitting there. He wasn't even standing. I was like, oh fuck, there he is. He was like 25 yards away. Hadn't even made a motion to start walking away from me yet.
Wow.
And it's just bizarre. I don't know. That's a rant I went on here.
On that. No, it's good stuff. On that white box, I have to refresh my memory. Do you just have like a shooting window there, or do you flip the top off?
We flip the top off.
Okay.
And, I mean, I use a 4-inch foam, which they do not sell at Home Depot. So I glued two pieces of 2-inch foam together to make my walls. So all you need is two end caps. And then you can have as many front and back walls as you want to make it as big as you want for additional people.
Sure.
I only have two. And then I just got lids. And I've got, like, archery windows. Like, not archery windows, but, like, imagine the tower, the guard tower on a castle. You know how archers they have those beveled windows?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to cut into the 4 inches of foam so you can look out of it and kind of get – the visibility is a weak spot of that. So I've got some archery windows cut into all of those pieces. The two lids have archery windows, and there's archery windows on the front, back, and sides.
You know those pop-up lines for like turkey hunting and deer hunting have that see-through mesh. Do you think that would be you think that would help? I mean, they wouldn't see your movement as much, maybe.
Maybe. I'm super inexperienced with turkey blinds, you know, like I've never been in one. I've never bought one. I've never turkey hunted like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have one and it's got that see-through mesh. So there's like a printed camel pattern on the outside, but when you get inside, you can see through it just like you're looking through a screen door, you know.
Yeah, that.
A But they you can't see in. That's
well, yeah, and I definitely thought about getting a white mesh for those archery windows.
I can hardly hear you now. I don't know what you did, but
can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. There's all sorts of rustling, and then you got really muffled.
Oh shit, my bad.
But now you're
better. So the archery windows I was gonna cover up with white mesh. And that would help, but in the meantime, all I've been doing is just wearing white while I'm inside of it, and that helps.
Sure.
But that's the only time I've used it in the last 2 years. But if you look up, I'm going to find that dive bomb video so I know the name of it. And you can kind of see, if anybody's interested in building a white box, reach out to me. I'll send you the plans that I used and tell you how I did it a little differently and what I would do a little differently. Let's just look up dive bomb.
You're getting muffly again. What are you doing with your microphone?
Dive bomb decoys. Hold on.
I think I'm
putting my pinky finger over it.
That must be what you're doing. I wonder. You think you could get away with that, like early season, in like a brown box or a green box? You think they? I mean, it's not something they've ever been hunted out of before, you know what I mean? They're not used to getting shot at. It could just look like a random piece of farm equipment, irrigation pivot or something, you know what I mean?
The 1993 article from Wildfowl magazine where I got the plans out of says that they use it in early September, like in their early season hunts.
They just kept it white?
Yeah. So anyways, it's called Honkers in the Snowbox. That's the dive bomb video, and theirs is much different than mine. It looks interesting. You can tell they're not using any 4-inch foam on it. They just stuck to the 2-inch sheets, and they got a PVC frame on the inside, and this end caps actually flip up from the top, so the bottom lifts up, so they can kind of, like a doggy door, like they can go in and out of it like a doggy door.
Sure.
And, you know, part of the benefit for me using that 4-inch foam that I found, or gluing the foam together, was that the weight of it helped with wind. The number one enemy of a foam box blind is going to be wind.
Sure.
But if you got a solid frame on the inside, or you add weight to it somehow, you could cut down to 2-inch foam maybe. Anyways.
I wonder, my brain's thinking, what if you had, like, you got just some molded PVC, right? Like, maybe you could repurpose, like, those racks for, like, traveling on your car, you know? Those things, the luggage racks, those, I think one brand is called, like, Escargo or something like that. Where you could put that, you could use it like over your boot bags, you know, cut it to just go over your boot bags on your blind. They would just be just white PVC. And then you'd have like some maybe Velcro on your doors, and then you'd have Velcro on the bottom of some either other PVC or white foam. And you could convert your, instead of using covers, I guess is what I'm getting at. Because the covers...
Instead of using the fabric covers?
Yeah.
The fabric covers are kind of weak. Like, they'll get wet, and then that dark blind will show through. Kind of like you bought some, you know... Have you ever bought a white swimsuit accidentally and then went swimming with it when you were 11 years old and very, very sensitive to people looking and pointing at your penis at a public pool?
No, I haven't.
Because I did. I did. Anyways, that bottom shows through, you know, like if your snow cover gets wet.
It can get stained. You know, my thought was like with the PVC, if you could make something like that, you'd be able to wash it off, right? It's just plastic. It'd be hard plastic. Like, just wash it off.
And you'd be fine. Right. That's not a terrible idea. Or even like, there's that, just like a foam cushion for a work surface, you know, that comes in all sorts of colors. It's maybe an eighth of an inch thick or so, just a little foam. You could do something with that and just throw that away if it got dirty, you know?
Sure.
I don't know.
We generally have a tendency to way overthink this shit, but
right, just go to Home Depot, buy a bunch of foam panels.
Like I've thought about, I think I've brought this up before, but you know, like the even live flowers, they do this, but usually it's fake flowers. Like in the bottom of a fake flower pot, you know, they have that green, real spongy foam that you can stick stuff in.
Oh yeah,
I've thought about taking some of that to line around my layout blind so I can stick stuff vertically on it, or even like on your doors, and you could stick stuff in there. Yeah. So when it's closed, the grass is sticking up vertical instead of laying down while everything else around you is sticking vertically. I've never done it, but
now if you want to get your noodle going real hard on a bunch of camouflage opportunities, go to Hobby Lobby and go to their, go to their fake plant section, which is like a quarter of the store. Right. Like if you go into a Hobby Lobby, dude, like 25%, like an entire bay, like is all fake plants. And then you look at some of the stuff, you'd be like, I don't know, you know that I'm not sure, but let me blow your mind. You can paint all that stuff. So right. If it's not quite the right color, you can make it the right color. And that kind of just opens up everything they have in there to like, cause I made some, it's called monkey grass. So I bought some, I think it's called monkey grass. I'm going to Google it real quick here. It's a Hobby Lobby monkey grass. It is, it's actually called monkey grass bush. The monkey grass bush at Hobby Lobby. So it's 10 bucks on the website.
70s porn version.
Monkey grass bush. It's $10 on the website, but if you go, every time I've been into Hobby Lobby, this shit is on 50% off sale. Like, I don't know why. I just go in there every time I've ever been there. Maybe it's just I'm always there on a sale. Like, maybe I'm always in fucking Hobby Lobby around President's Day or something. I don't know. But it's always $5 a bush. Well, I bought a bunch of that stuff, and then I bought, like, some – I wrapped it up onto tent stakes, like 8-inch tent stakes with Gorilla – you know, just Gorilla duct tape. And I was using it a little bit, but then I didn't. I left it with Brad Cochran out in Oregon. I hunted out there with him, and I was like, here, you can have this stuff. It works pretty good. It's not quite the right color. And then he texted me, like, this year. He had had them for a year, and he's like, hey, check it out. I painted those monkey grasses. Now look how good they look. And I was like, my God. Why didn't I think of fucking painting them?
It's just plastic and then or silk or whatever it is.
Yeah, and he just used like a couple of different colors he bought at Home Depot that looked like really close to the grass in his area that he's trying to get. He even sent me the colors. God damn it. Now I'm going to look up the colors that Brad told me.
You know, one of the artificial camouflages I've seen that actually work that looks pretty good in the snow is the snow camel. It's like ghillie, like it's like snow and corn colored. That stuff looks pretty good.
Yeah, if you could get some little strings of raffia tied onto snow, like snow ghillie stuff looks really good too. I think Tangle Free might have just came out with one that looked pretty good. The best I've ever seen in my life, and I tried. This has been discontinued for like 3 years, and this was like 8 years ago. So this has been discontinued for like 11 years now, but it was the Avery killer weed ghillie suit in snow. Holy fuck, that they hit the nail on the head. You might even be able to Google that. All right, here's what Brad Cochran wrote me about the monkey grass. I hit it really heavy with the sunbeam yellow. So it's sunbeam yellow fusion Krylon, and then hit the tips with the spiced amber. So that's satin spiced amber, Krylon fusion, and misted a little in the middle too. I got the spray paint at Lowe's. That's what Brad told me. Hmm. And dude, you want me to send you this picture really quick?
Sure. Yeah, I'm looking at the Prairie Wings snow. It looks like it goes over an A-frame blind. It looks awesome. But same thing, maybe it gets wet and maybe it doesn't look as good. It's hard to say.
I don't know. I hope your internet can you. It says delivered. Check that picture. Went.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that one on the far left—that's pure monkey grass.
That's how it goes. Just dark green.
it's dark green. It's a real rich, robust green. Now look at how he yellowed them up a little bit. Yeah. You can see there's three more to the right of that, and then he's got real. He must have taken some real grass home, and then tried to match it. Look how fucking good that looks.
Yeah, that does look pretty slick.
yeah, and then I was like, oh shit, why didn't I think of that? And you can do that with literally anything they have in that store. Like, just get the texture you're looking for and then color match it yourself.
Like, I thought about even that green block stuff. You know, one of the things, like, when you set layout blinds next to each other, it's not so much that, you know, your blind material is laid down, or you can kind of get it to stick up, you know, by putting stuff vertically in the stubble straps, you know. Can't really do it on your doors, but on the sides you can make it. But then in between, it always, you know, you get those valleys, and you can try to fill it in. But that would be kind of like the place if you were to put that green foam down and then stick stuff in there vertically so that it's sticking up. Like, that would just destroy your outline for sure.
Yeah, dude, you know? For sure.
It's one extra stupid thing. And then it only lasts so long, too, because every time you poke a hole in it, that hole is there. The hole stays there. But if you use something like that monkey grass, well, you would never have to really take it out, although it's going to take up more room, I guess. I don't know. Oh, there's things well, you could do, but
I just put those in a little box, like a little container, because they had, like, those 6 or 8 inch camping or tent spikes on them. So you could just pull them out of the ground, throw them in a box, and off you go.
Sure.
Well, hey, dude, we're at 32 minutes already, and I did want to talk about
bird. We're overtime.
I know. Well, I did want to talk about bird flu a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It appears as if that bird flu, we all knew it was happening this spring, and it kind of like we didn't hear about it very much, but it seems like since this cold snap, the bird flu has kind of came back with a vengeance, and it's kind of all over social media. Now, I've been on the CDC website, and I've been checking out Delta Waterfowl's got some information on this. But I've been trying to research it and get more information, but it's hard to get. Here's what I'm interested in. Is there a threat that this could get so bad that seasons or limits or general population health of waterfowl is under threat, right? Because all the information I've been getting from the normal sources, which is good information, like from Ducks Unlimited, just it takes forever to get past them talking about, what is bird flu? Can you get it?
Yeah,
can
right.
Can your dog get it? Yeah. How does it affect poultry farms? And then you're 40 fucking minutes into the conversation, and it's like, what is bird flu? It's pretty fucking self-explanatory. It's birds getting sick and dying, all right? Can your dog get it? Probably not. Can you get it? Probably not. Maybe don't go play around with a bunch of sick birds, though.
Okay. I did listen to something. I'll just interject here. It has happened in the past where somebody has contracted bird flu, but it ends there. So, like, you might get sick, and even that's really rare, but you're then not able to pass that same flu strain on to another human. For some reason, right. Like, it stopped. Like, it can't replicate in the body. Like, your body fights it. That's why you get sick, and then it's done. But you don't then shed it to somebody else.
And it's been hard for me to find any content provided by anybody that goes past what we just discussed in fucking 80 seconds.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, we all know this is happening. But I have been involved in a couple of, like, alarmist-sounding group chats or phone conversations that are like, dude, they're going to shut down the snow goose season. Okay. There's some videos that I've seen out there that are not on social media that have several hundred dead snow geese dying. They're fucking horrific, man.
Okay.
And you might have seen some of these, like, similar videos on social media. And people are getting really freaked out about it and, like, is this going to affect the population? But so far, in my opinion, we got to remember that we kill 10,000 of these fucking things every day with shotguns.
Yeah, that was going to be my point. It's like, you're like, there's a video of, like, hundreds of them dead. Yeah, I've seen that too. It's called hunting. And like, and you usually know how many is actually dead because they use the carcasses to literally shape numbers that say 700.
Right. Now, I'm I'm just not with this alarmist, like, they're going to shut down the snow goose. All right, you show me a roost of 15,000 dead snow geese, and I'll be like, holy fuck. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you show me, like, where 500,000 snow geese were roosting, and now all of a sudden there's 15,000 dead ones there. Or fuck it. Let's just say 100,000 snow geese are roosting there, and 15,000 are now dead. That's 15% of the population. Okay, that's fucking horrific, and we should all be
freaked out.
Really, really freaked out. But like, showing me a roost that had potentially several hundred thousand snow geese on it, and there's 300 dead ones there, it's like, chill the fuck out. I don't think spring snow goose season is in danger because a few hundred birds got sick and died.
Yeah, I don't think there's any room to freak out, really. If anything, so it might be the wildlife biologists are the ones concerned about the Arctic tundra and the reason we have a spring season. At worst, they would shut, at the very worst. And like you're saying, this would take some sort of like just unbelievable die off for them to even cancel that spring season, much less right. The regular fall season. And it wouldn't, I have a feeling it wouldn't just be the snow geese. Like it would honestly be worse if you were seeing the thousands of like honkers dying or mallards or something else that isn't
right.
Doesn't have the and astronomical population that snow geese have.
And there are die-offs happening of those species too. And it is concerning. And we might see what I just said we haven't seen in the future. You know, like we might see a roost of 15,000 dead snow geese, you know, coming up here in February or March as the disease spreads across populations. Maybe it does get worse, or maybe they got a fucking Omicron variant or some shit that really does, you know, make the disease even worse than it has been. But it seems like,
well, yes, I think we should make those geese start wearing masks. It's the only real solution.
And make it so they can't cross the border into Canada.
That's right. There's a quarantine. There's a quarantine period. Yeah, we can do this. Shit, I had something else I was going to say, and I lost it. Damn it.
Yeah, was it nothing. How satisfied you are with your Dick Johnson Signature Series Pacific Cusco?
Well, I haven't bought one, so...
I thought we were friends.
I know. Well, you know. Changing the subject.
Got real quiet.
Actually, I was drinking beer. But,
man, I haven't had a beer in so long.
Dang it. I felt like I had a poignant point to make, too, and it's just gone.
Now all I can think about is beer, dude. Like, I haven't had a beer since I got back from Canada. Well, I haven't had a beer in like 5 weeks.
I don't know what to tell you. They sell it at stores. You can get it at bars. Like,
it's... Here's the problem. I hang up with my wife all the time, right?
Sure.
And she is not impressed with drinking Nick.
With drunk Nick? No.
She is not impressed with all of my, speaking loudly and bombastically, and my little attitude problem I have when I get a few beers in me, she does not find it very, very attractive.
How is drunk Mrs. Johnson? Or does she get drunk?
She does occasionally. It's not good. So I guess the feeling is mutual, and like we are way better together when we don't drink. But that's not to say that I don't want a beer once in a while. Sure. But I just want sex more.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like that's a legit trade-off right there. I can't even
if I get three beers deep, there is no chance in hell that lady's gonna
that she's putting out.
Hell no. She's like, fuck, you're sleeping by yourself tonight.
Cock blocking yourself. It's a bad deal.
Yeah, exactly. God, I do want a beer though now. Let's end this now.
All right, and go get a beer. That'd be good. Well, congratulations, Nick. And I should say thank you for being a part of the Waterfall Wednesdays. This has been awesome. And I have a request. I almost went into this. I was like, well, if he asked me, what are we going to talk about? Which we have that pre-recording conversation sometimes. It's been a while since we've had a Keeping Tabs episode.
Yeah, we should do a Keeping Tabs. I do have some decent tabs even rolling. I cleared my tabs out recently, man.
What are you like, doing?
I'm down to 30 right now. But,
that's plenty for an episode. Plenty.
I got some bird flu stuff in here. Ooh, I got some Canada goose beats humans in long-standing territory battle stuff.
Here's another thing I want to say before we wrap this up. And this is legit. Like, I know I'm asking people to do a little bit extra work, but it's less work than me having to drive, now, like 8 hours into Iowa to go shoot my own. But I'm all out of goose legs. And lately I've been putting goose legs in the crock pot until that meat just falls off the bone. And that meat is so much better than the breast meat.
It's
so much better. And
dude, I love goose legs.
And I'm out of goose legs. So if anybody out there would be so kind as to set some aside for me, yes, I do. And next time I'm down in the cities areas, you know, I'll go buy you some beers and in exchange for some, well, I can't do that because you can't sell a wild game. I will gift you some beers, and just by chance, you also gift me goose legs.
God, you love admitting to crimes.
That's not a crime. I can gift you anything I want, and you can gift me anything I want. That's not even remotely a transaction.
Yeah, that's true.
They are independent of each other.
Dude, for all those guys out there that are just taking out those titties, oh, you got to get on that leg game. Dude, yeah. Mrs. Johnson cooks goose legs so amazing.
And when with the crock pot thing, like literally the last time I did it, before I left for work, I threw them in there. You know, you cover them in whatever. I think I use beef stock, and then I usually dump those little mini bottles of wine. Those are perfect.
Really?
One of those things of red wine. Because red wine actually not only does it help break down the meat, but also has a really nice depth of flavor. You just dump one of those in there too, put the cover on it, put that thing on low, go to work. You come home, the meat's falling off the bone. You just chuck the bones out there, and you just got an amazing – you can turn that into soup. You can turn it into stew. You can, you know, pull out just the meat. You could have some sort of pulled meat, whatever. I mean, you could put it in a hot dish of any kind. You could do anything with it at that point. And the meat is so ridiculously tender and
it is
juicy
awesome, yeah.
And good. It's so good.
I've heard some people use the word stringy or full of tendons to describe goose legs. Like, no, they're not.
That's not what happens when you slow cook them. All that connective tissue, all that, the tendon and connective tissue, like it, when you slow cook it, it melts. It literally melts. And like that, if you take that, just make potatoes, mashed potatoes or whatever. Do what we just said in the crock pot. Take that meat out, like separate it from the liquid, then take that remaining liquid, make gravy out of that, and then you just like pile your potatoes, put some goose meat on it, drizzle that gravy over the top. You will thank me. You'll be like, holy shit. Yeah, the goose titties are good. I love them, but the goose legs, way better. I'm an ass man when it comes to goose.
Me too.
Or a leg man, I guess I should say.
Let's also thank Boss Ammunition for making such a good product so I don't have to chase down as many cripples. Nice clean kill shots at an affordable price. Bismuth copper plated 3x5 20 gauge ounce and an eighth is my load of choice. It's been awesome shooting that the last two seasons having Boss on board. Check out the Signature Series Goose Call by Pacific Calls on pacificcustomcalls.com. We'd really appreciate it. And check out the Goose Tech app on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. If you're looking to improve your goose calling, reach out to me as well. If you want to improve your goose calling, we'll work on it.
And I'm going to go ahead and just thank Relevant again, just because I'm on the staff and their glasses are awesome. So
I want some.
For them, yeah,
can you
should.
Get me some?
I'm sure I could. Christmas is right around the corner.
I want it for full retail.
So deal. we can talk later. And just a big thank you to everybody that has followed along thus far. I mean, it's been, I think, maybe not quite 3 years for Waterfall Wednesday because it's been just over 3 years for the podcast in general. But yeah, we're at 100 episodes for Waterfall Wednesday. So that's not a little feat. Most podcasts don't last anywhere near that. So thanks everybody for sticking with us.
I have found that. Even like interesting podcasts, you'll be like, you'll start following them and then they just disappear.
Yep. The average is seven episodes. And then they're
is that
done.
True?
Yep. Those are the average.
You know who needs this podcast to come out again? Is Dave Smith Decoys. I've been waiting for... Oh, they got... God damn it. Now we're talking longer. Tomorrow. tomorrow they're launching their well, it will be, it's a Wednesday. Go to the Dave Smith Decoy. You'll see it on social media. Go to Dave Smith Decoys. Wednesday, December 7th, they're launching their honker floaters, their giant floaters.
Ooh. Well, you know, you know what they really should do? They should just contact us and just be a regular contributor to this podcast.
That would be cool.
That we could, they could just check in like once a month. We could have the DSD episode. You know,
That'd be sweet.
Third week of every month is DSD week. And then, you know, we do a group call with them or something. That'd be sweet.
I haven't used any other full body for like 3 years now.
It seems to work good. I will say this: I'm tempted to start slowly building an arsenal of them.
I'm rarely using more than 40 decoys these days. Like,
yeah, that's awesome. Like, that's so weird. Much less work.
No, it's not with TSD.
Well, I suppose you got to bag them all, but I'm bagging all my avians anyways, so that's not much different than my avians.
That wouldn't be much different, but it is different than like a trailer full of Bigfoots.
True, but we've talked many times, I hate Bigfoots, but that's just me.
All right, man. Well, I will talk to you next week for episode 101.
Awesome. Sounds good, dude. Later.
Later.
Bye.